So as far as I can remember into my childhood, I have always been a part of the Christian community. My mother and my father did an amazing job at making sure that their daughters not only knew the faith, but practiced it. And just to give you a little background, I've been a member of 3 different churches. So I've been in church my whole life. And it kind of started at the age of 2. I kind of got that from my mom. I remember my mom being my Sunday school teacher. There was this one time where we were asked to write down words that meant something to us. And the 2 words that I chose were God and no. So just to give you a little idea, I was about 4 when I wrote that down. The word God showed my love and my strength. And the word no showed my stubbornness. So I'd like to think that I had a good balance in between the 2 of those. In elementary school, I had really been burdened with migraines, which was a really big deal for me. I really couldn't focus in school. I'd have to leave almost every day to go down to the nurse, and it was a really big deal. And I remember one day at church, I shared this with the church family, and immediately everyone got up and put a hand on me and began praying over me. And this was probably one of the first instances where God was with me, and I actually forgot about this. I had to be reminded that this was an issue for me by my mom. She told me about this, and I was like, wow, it's just amazing what he's already done. Like, it was a really big issue. Oh, yeah, and also, I was baptized at the age of 12. So around that time, when you're 12, you're knowledgeable about, you know, your faith in Christianity. And so at that time, I took the step to go ahead and be baptized because I knew what I was doing. And it was something that was really strong for me to do. When I got to high school, I joined the FCA, which is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was very involved with school. I did practically every sport. And this was so important because I was the anchor between our fellowship leader and all of my teammates. She saw my relationship with God and how strong it was, and she used that for the other girls and the other guys that were in this group with us. My job was to get them there. They were very stubborn. They didn't really want to go talk about God in the morning right before school, so that was a big deal. And I also made it my job to show them that sharing their stories was okay. It was amazing because some of the girls had no relationship with God, but they wanted to be saved, and they wanted to know more about God. Fast forwarding to about the age of 21, where I'm becoming an adult, this hit me really hard. And I'd just like to start off by saying, be careful what you ask God for. Because he will give it to you. I just remember being younger and always wondering about the judicial system and wanting to know more about it. And I know this sounds crazy, but like at a young, young age, I remember just saying, I want to know what the judicial system is like, and I would like to know what jail is like. I know that sounds so crazy. It sounds crazy saying it. 3 days before my 21st birthday, is when the whole incident occurred. So, long story short, I received an FTA, which is a failure to appear, for a traffic violation that I was innocent of. A warrant was sent out for me, which at the time I had no idea. So 3 days before my birthday, the police show up to my home and they question my mother about my whereabouts. And she doesn't even know that they're actually trying to take me in. So she kind of tips them off of where I'm at. I'm actually at the YMCA working out. So she calls me and lets me know. And so the next day comes. So 2 days before my birthday, I go to school as I regularly do. I'm actually a student at Georgia State University. So I commuted to campus and I came back home. And it was really stirring with me. And just, I knew something was wrong because I'm like, why are they showing up looking for me? So, and at the time, I didn't know I had a failure to appear because I didn't even know I had court. So 2 days before my birthday, I decided to go up to the DeKalb County precinct and just question them about, you know, what they wanted from me. And as we're there and we're speaking to them, they're like, you're coming with us. Yeah. So I ended up spending 10 hours in a holding cell. But the entire time, God was still with me. Thank you. I can't even see the paper. He was still with me. I didn't have to get dragged there or put in the back of a police car. And I didn't have to stay there for long. But that is just one reason why you should be careful what you ask for. It was just a time for me to just understand that God was really with me and he heard me. Everything. And it all went down very well. The whole case was dismissed because I was innocent. And my mother followed me through the entire thing. So just fast forwarding to now, I've just been going to school and working and practicing saving and staying with my faith. But adulting is very hard, so be careful what you ask for. I remember wanting to be an adult so bad. Take your time. There's no need to rush. God has been with me through everything that I've been through. And although I asked for those things, he made it so easy. He gave me the easiest way out. I didn't have to stay there overnight. And I guess like the biggest thing for me was realizing I didn't have to. I think the biggest thing was just not having to get in the back of a police car and being embarrassed. And just knowing that there's so many innocent people out there who this happens to as well. A scripture that really touches me is Psalm 27. And I just wanted to read some of that to you guys. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I come and when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not the face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me strength to come up here and tell my story and my walk of faith with you. Thank you for allowing the people to hear and open their ears and take all of this in and see me. I ask that you keep me under your wing, that you keep protecting me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. My name is Marquette Bug, and I've been a part of Edgewood for the last couple of years. When I was asked to do this, you know, when you're asked to tell something about what you know about God, that's like a really big question. And I've settled in on a couple of things because I'm 36 years old now, and there's a lot to tell. But so I want to start with the first day of my life. Joy was like, you don't have that much time. And if you know me at all, that is how I tell a story. I'm like, well, these are the color of the socks that I put on. On the first day of my life, my dad held me. Danielle and I talked about trying not to cry. And he told me that Jesus loved me. And what a privilege to have a dad that would do that for you. And to have a mom that believes that too. And so I recognize that I started out with an advantage, having a mom and dad who loved Jesus. And then later I was worried that it brainwashed me, so I had to go through that. that, do I really believe this for myself? In first grade, I came to an understanding, or at least I understood enough to know that Jesus did love me. And my dad baptized me in front of our church. And then at 12 years old, see how I'm like fast forwarding, like 6-year chunks, that's pretty good. In sixth grade, I went to church camp in New Mexico, and this really interesting thing happened with our youth group. We had a large youth group. We were all sitting in a room after an evening worship time, and something weird happened in the room, like something tangible and palpable, something that you could feel. And I recognized it as God moving in the space. I knew that God was real. Holy Spirit was doing something in this group of people. And I remember telling God at 12 years old, whatever that is, I want to be a part of it for the rest of my life. And I think that's important when I think about our kids that are over here and the ones that are in this room, that they're not too young to have real encounters with God that change them for forever, because it did for me. So began a lifelong quest of seeking to know God and to accept and really understand what Jesus loves me means. And it gets harder as you get older because you start messing up and you start recognizing your own flaws and you see that maybe I'm not so good after all. Maybe I need a God who can really see me and love me anyway. And I think that was probably my biggest fear and struggle, was that if people really see me, they're not going to want what's here. And it's hard to make that transition with God, too, you know, believing that God really sees you and loves you. So I want to tell you a story that I feel like illustrates this best in my life. After graduating from seminary at Baylor, I had friends who were from Ghana who returned home, Vincent and Doreen Asamoah, and they have 3 children, Kwame, Ama, and Afia, all of whom have, like, more personality than I know what to do with. But after graduating, I went home with them to Ghana, to help my friend Vincent start a basketball program in West Africa, because they don't play basketball there. And I played basketball. And so I went to, so West Africa knows how to play basketball now because, so when you see the Ghanaian Olympic team, it's right here. And you're going to be like, man, they're really bad. This guy, kicking it with their feet and stuff. That was like the first rule. This is a basketball. You do not kick it. So for about 8 months, I got to live there and taught this game to a group of young people so that they could then teach it to children. And it's a lonely thing to go by yourself to another country and to not be with other people from your own culture. I looked really different than my neighbors. And everywhere I went, I heard the word Obrani, Obrani, which means white lady, white lady, white lady. And so finally I asked Vincent, I said, how do you say black little kid? And he said, Bibini. And so like I would start doing that, Bibini. And they were like, yeah, oh, she speaks tree. So, but we became friends because of that. They were like, oh, she gets me. Yeah. Obrani, 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 Bibini. So anyway, I look back on that time with fondness, but there was definitely a point in time where I felt very forgotten and alone. And I think that sometimes in life we can feel that way, that we have been forgotten, or that we are utterly alone. And I had a moment with these kids. It was their very first time to ever swim in the ocean, and I was down on the shore with them. And everything that happened in the water, anytime there was a wave or they would jump or do something, they would turn around and look at me and say, do you see me? Do you see me? Do you see me? And I see you. I see you. And so in that moment, I started praying and asking God, do you see me? And I didn't hear anything, which is scary. Do you see me? Do you see me? And I prayed that for like the next 2 months, not really hearing anything, you know. And then this team of Americans came over to help build a basketball court. And I had a conversation with this crazy guy named Speedy Weibel. And Speedy said, hey, this doesn't happen to me very often. But I really have heard something from God that I want to share with you. And I feel like God has told me to tell you that he sees you. Yeah, I was like, I'm done. God is real, you know. But that meant a lot to me. Yeah, how could it not? That to hear God answer that so blatantly, yes, I see you. Yes, I know you. I see you. I love you. Yeah, I see you fully. And that is how I heard it and how I continue to hear it, that God sees me and loves me. And I am saying that on behalf of God to you. God sees you, Mary. Mary's hearing it. Beth's hearing it. God sees you. That is something in Scripture that we see with the story of Hagar, too. This is the very first time that a person ever named God. You are the one who sees me. And I just want to claim that on behalf of the whole room. So thank you.
My sinuses were flaring up back there for a minute, so just if you notice anything about me, then that's just what it is. It's a sinus thing. We have these Sundays, these God Story Sundays, on purpose because these stories, they need to be told. And sometimes in the telling of our own stories, we begin to see them more clearly and we begin to see God's handiwork in our lives and God's presence in our lives. And sometimes hearing people's stories, we get to hear our own story better and imagine what God is doing and maybe looking back on our lives and seeing God's presence in our lives. Sometimes these stories give us hope. Maybe we are in the middle of that three-month period or two-month period where we're just praying every moment of our breathing, God, do you see me? Do you see me? But we don't have our answer yet. And so it gives us some, hearing other people's stories gives us a chance to hope that we will see God, that we will hear God's voice. So I want you to... I want you to know this morning that God loves you, that God loves you, God loves you, and that God is wanting to write a beautiful story in your life.